Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Advocate, is here. And Mark, today could be a big day for the commercial activity tax that Governor John Bel Edwards is touting, and we'll see how it goes. But the governor has acknowledged that he doesn't have the votes. So where does it stand right now?
It looks like the Ways and Means Committee in the House is going to hear some public testimony. Probably not much of it's going to be supportive of it. And then they say they're going to take a vote on it. And from everything that we're hearing is that it's going to go down in defeat, which would leave us open to what's Plan B. And he certainly hasn't given us any indication of what Plan B is going to be doing.
Well, he knew or had to know going in that this was going to be a tough sell. And it appears that he doesn't have the votes. And he's in the minority party with only 13 Democrats in the House, or the Senate, and 41 in the House. It would have taken a lot of heavy lifting to get this.
And, you know, I didn't really see much heavy lifting on the part of the governor's staff going into this. It seemed like they sent out or, you know, kind of ran it up the flagpole to see if anyone would salute. And then they started manipulating, perhaps is too strong, but trying to change the plan to make it more palatable for the legislators. And it just never seemed to catch off.
So where do they go from here? With the governor's plan apparently dead on arrival, what are the options?
Well, the Republicans, legislators, have been saying for the most part that what they're coming up with is they're looking at this year's plan. They have a whole lot of bills that are percolating, is the words that they use, and they'll see which one of these plans will come out and which ones will gain support over the coming weeks.
And we are joined now by C. Denise Marcel, state representative from Baton Rouge. And Representative Marcel, we'll get to the budget, but certainly we wanted to talk with you about a discussion we had yesterday with Michael Henderson of the LSU Public Policy Research Lab and his findings, a survey of more than 1,000 people in our state. It shows that there is a huge divide among perceptions based on race in our community and in the state as a whole. We have different viewpoints, in particular about law enforcement. Does that come as any great revelation?
No. Good morning, Jim, and thanks for inviting me. It does not. I've served on the council for many years, and I saw this as a problem throughout Baton Rouge with my interactions with law enforcement and the community.
So with the Alton Sterling decision supposedly coming sometime in the next few months, at least that's what many are saying, will this city be on edge waiting to hear what happens?
I think so. And recently I've seen where they have the rally, so they're starting back up, and it's getting closer to a year, so people are really anxious to find out what, if anything's going to happen. And so my conversation to them is, that, of course, we can't burn down our city. So, but I see people getting on edge about it.
877-217-5757, if you'd like to join the conversation with Representative C. Denise Marcel, who ran for mayor last year, ran a strong race. And, of course, the winner was Sharon Weston Broom, who will have to address this Sterling situation when it happens. And I'm sure C. Denise Marcel, as a state rep, will be on the front lines as well. You were quite vocal. There is a videotape of the death of Mr. Sterling. You believe at least one of the police officers was at fault. There are others who don't, but you've remained steadfast in your conviction. Well, what did you see?
Well, what I saw was an excessive use of force. What I saw is that he didn't try to disengage him at all. I think if he had used different policies or something else would have been in place, that Alton Sterling would be alive today.
So he's not alive. He's gone. At this point, is there any way to exact justice?
Well, I'm going to have to rely upon whatever the Justice Department says. I'm not the administer of justice. Certainly, I think throughout the nation, we've seen different information come back regarding police officers and shootings. So I'm not sure what's going to come back. I'm a little apprehensive. I don't think that they're going to do the officer, hold him accountable for it. But that's just my belief.
You're talking about Blaine Salamone.
Correct.
There were two officers who reacted much differently, and basically they've been lumped together, but you seem to be separating one from the other.
Absolutely. I am separating one from the other. And I realize that, you know, in a split decision, they have to make decisions, but at some point you have to be trained to de-escalate situations before they get to that point. And that's a part of the problem, that it was never de-escalated. And so the one who pulled the trigger, I think, used excessive use of force and, in my opinion, should be held accountable.
The district attorney has recused himself, but the attorney general could open an investigation. Would that be appropriate for Jeff Landry to open an investigation, or should he wait until the Justice Department renders its decision?
Well, at this point, you know, I think that the Justice Department is probably about to release their decision, so I don't see where that would help at this point. Originally, I thought he should have.
That the attorney general should have intervened.
That's correct.
Well, it's a case in which the community has been waiting for a long time. That was July 5th. We're almost 10 months removed from this. Have things calmed down, or are they just as tense as they were last summer?
I think they've calmed down, and I think that had a lot to do with the flood. People kind of started focusing on their homes and what they had lost, and so it kind of shifted people's feelings or emotions about the Alton Sterling. Not that they don't care about it, but they had other things that they found were priorities to worry about, which was a place to live, clothes, all of the things, the cars and everything that they lost.
Yesterday with Dr. Henderson, we talked about the racial divide and how in our community, many of us have few contacts with people of other races, and some of us do. But unless we're talking with one another and interacting with one another, will this ever change?
No, it won't unless we, you know, all of us come to the table. I need to know, you know, how you're feeling, and you need to know how I'm feeling, and I need to explain that to you. And so I think what we've seen in the past, especially in Baton Rouge, is that we have one side of town that says that, you know, we love the police are our friends, and, you know, you're overreacting. But what they don't see is what the African Americans see on the other side of town and how they're being treated differently. And I think until we can come together and understand our differences and what all of us want, public safety. At the end of the day, all of us want to go home. All of us want to go home alive. I want my son, my grandsons to go home alive. And so do you. So at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. The question is, how do we get there? You know, how do we have a happy medium in the middle and kind of understand each other's viewpoints?
The mayor wants to appoint her own police chief and apparently will at some point. Is that appropriate?
Yeah, I think it's appropriate. The question becomes how, you know, how she does that. I personally thought maybe she should get a public safety administrator that was over police, fire, and EMS, and allow that person to run those departments.
The mayor has named Jim Lorenz the chief administrative officer, and this is after Troy Bell was sent on his way because of a resume that had all kinds of discrepancies or outright lies. What do you think of the controversy that has swirled about the mayor over the last few days, Denise Marcel?
First of all, I'm glad that she chose Jim Lorenz. I love Jim Lorenz. I worked with him when I was on the council. He's a great person. I really don't know what happened with somebody dropped the ball on Troy Bell, obviously. I would like to see us move forward from that and not spend a lot of time on him. He was only here a few days. Let's let him go about his business. But somebody obviously dropped the ball on Troy Bell and his background check.
Now, in the legislature, this is a budget session, but lawmakers have five bills each to address other matters, and you're taking criminal justice, which is one of your passions, to heart. You have some bills related to that.
Yes, I do. House Bill 74 is a juvenile bill which allows juveniles an opportunity to get out of jail early if they go back before the judge, and it's about the disposition of the sentencing, a modification of the disposition of the sentencing. It's supported by the juvenile court judges and many other advocates for juveniles. I also have a voter's bill for parole, people who are paroled out, and that is really a constitutional amendment that I'm proposing that to allow the people to vote. And finally, it's not my last bill, but my clean water bill that I carry every year for General Onaway. Well, people don't know that that's something that I'm interested in, preserving our water. And so it's the clean water bill that I'll be bringing again this year for General Onaway.
You're part of the Green Army then.
I'm a part of the Green Army.
Here's an observation from Steve in St. Francisville. He says, race is clearly the issue. Morgan Freeman has said the way to get beyond race is to stop talking about it. How do you, Representative Marcel, feel about that?
Well, if you never talk about it and you never come to the table to hash out your differences, then it just festers there. So I disagree with that statement. I think, you know, we just can't sit back and be quiet about it and act like it does not exist. It does exist. I think we need to meet it head on and do what we can to improve that.
As far as the budget, as we segue to our guests, Peter Kovacs, Mark Ballard, Lynn Apkar, the budget right now is somewhat suspect. Where are we going? Is it?
You know, I wish I had the answer to that, Jim. I probably answer every question you have given me this morning. But, you know, we have some tax reforms. I sat and listened as Representative Jones put on his bill on yesterday in committee. And there's going to be a lot of pushback for corporate taxes from Labi and others. There seems to be no will to make the people at the top pay their fair share. And so we're in a crunch, I believe, and everybody should know this by now. We want to fund TOPS. We want to fund health care. We want to fund K through 12, but we don't want to make the rich of the richest of the richest that we've given away so many of our tax dollars to pay their fair share. And so I believe that we're going to end up back in a special session in order to fix this mess.
The governor went forward with this gross receipts commercial activity tax, despite the odds. Was that a miscalculation, or is this designed to get the conversation going?
Well, I think he did what he felt was best for the state, and I wouldn't call it a miscalculation. He may be a little optimistic about people voting to support it, because I've not seen the appetite for it. As I've listened to my colleagues down at the legislature, I don't see the appetite for it. I think certainly we need to look at the gas tax. I think that's mm-hmm. going to be where we're going to end up. The question becomes, what is that going to be, 13 cent, 17 cent? Right. What is that going to be? Because at the end of the day, we sit in traffic all day long, but people complain about it, but you got to pay to get out of it. Or they can move to Florida, where you can pay a toll every 2 miles.
All right. And lastly,
they have great roads, but you pay a toll every 2 miles.
The Republican majority has been accused of not offering a valid plan in response to the governor. Is there still time to do that?
I think it's still time to do that. The question becomes, do they really have a plan? And I've not really heard a plan that's a solid plan to get us out of this hole. I mean, you know, we got here over the last 8 years of Jindal, and so they need to figure out how to help us get out of it. I wasn't there when it happened, but I'm sure that many of my colleagues on my side of the aisle didn't vote for a lot of the things that they did. And so they got us into this mess. They need to step up, put on their big boy pants, and help us to get out of it.
Thank you for joining us, and good luck to
you.
Thank
you for inviting me.
It's been a pleasure.